The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Bovay. Taking care of business and working overtime. With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Bovay.
Welcome to the Money Talk Show. That is the best opening for this show. I got to tell you guys, it does such a great job with that. What a great opening for a Money Talk program. I can't imagine anything better than that. Welcome to the Friday wrap-up program here. We are here every evening at 5 o'clock. Most people are surprised to hear that. We're all very busy, you know, and most, I think, of our audience is a couple days a week sort of thing, or one day a week when they have the night. But every evening there is someone here to talk with you or talk about you. If you don't call us, we talk about you. That's what we do. That's our job. Think about what you're feeling. Try to anticipate, you know. If you're truly into the job, you should be able to do that pretty well, I think, right? Anticipate how you're feeling. I meet with people just like you every day if I haven't met with you in my office in Lincoln, so I think I do know what you're thinking, because I don't think you're that different from the people I meet that are your age with a similar goals. You know, if you're my age, 58, if you worked for 40 years, you probably have the same thoughts. Unlike myself, who's planning on working 10 more years, very few say that at year 40. I was just so lucky to find this profession at a very young age. I was about 20, and I just love it. And I love doing this program, and thank you for those that allow me to be here, including Don and Station. Had to be patient with me in the beginning. You know, it took some time. This is a frightening thing in the beginning. A little scary even now, which I think is good. Hopefully, Don, I always talked about that. Keeps you on your toes, you know. You never want to be too comfortable with it. A little bit of fear. I think stage fright is probably a good thing to keep you going, you know. Dow and other markets down moderately today, not like yesterday. Markets have been up for a while now. You know, we don't talk about doom and gloom here on this program. We don't try to predict markets. We do not remove all the money from the stock market that we handle because we think it's going to go down ever. Never do that. That's market timing. That's not management. I'm not saying there isn't somebody that can do it, but if you can do that over a 30-year period consistently, not just one time, and predict the market, then you'll be the only person on earth probably that's ever done it consistently over time. Out of millions and millions of people, occasionally there's a rare animal. It's almost impossible to do for most of us. And I think I'm that intellect level, that over time trying to predict and outfox the market. No, I don't think I'm going to be very successful at that. Maybe a measure of my own moderation, of my own ability. But I do believe those I've met in my 40 years, out of those I met when I was younger, who acted like or talked like they could predict the market, every one of them is broke today. That I remember talking like that, not people whoever were focused or serious about those things and took crazy risks. I've shared some of the stories with you. Some of them were very bad. I've been called upon a couple of times, twice in my career, by young fathers who called and made an appointment at my office and came in and said, I know I'm not in the right place. You don't handle debt, but they were comfortable talking with me. You know, a man my age, I was young at the time, and they had, you know, taken their mortgages out in their houses and risked the money in the stock market thinking they're going to be super-duper stock traders, you know. So people have done it for 30 years tell you they can't do it. Why would you think you can do it at age 37 with no training? I mean, it doesn't make, you know, human beings don't make a lot of sense to me sometimes. That's one of those moments, you know what I mean? I have no background training or experience or knowledge of interior decoration, so I don't open my mouth about those things in my home. My wife always handled it, and I always said, well, we're best off with you deciding. I think the results will be better, and if I get involved, I can't imagine that's going to help because I don't have skill sets like that, you know? But if you get involved in those kind of things, you have to be careful. Investing is risky, and it's your money, so don't make the mistake of jumping in now heavily in any manner. I would be very against that. And I could be wrong. It could be a month or two from now, things could be a lot higher, but I don't think so. I think we may have gotten the juice that you normally get, P.E. ratios, things like that. It seemed to be pretty expanded. I said a couple of years ago I thought the market was pricey, and it's higher than that still. which makes me a little more nervous than ever, I guess. But that doesn't mean we run away. It means we've been gradually leaning away over the last 8 to 10 quarters. That's my philosophy anyway. Just to reduce something we think is highly priced. When something performs very well, the result of that is that it's highly priced. So if you have a good year in something, it doesn't make it a better deal to buy now if it's 20% higher than it was a year ago, right? It makes it a 20% higher risk. Buying low and selling high is a concept that requires discipline. It's one of those things that sounds easy, you know, to do. And if Nathan was here, he's not, so he'll be on Wednesday, I hope, he would say, Dad, remember I told you, things that are easy to do are easy not to do. And that's the kind of the, you know, the human discipline problem that we all suffer from to some degree, I guess. You know, that's why anybody would be have any problem with anything, including addictions and things of that nature. That's a discipline issue, clearly. I guess some of it can be medical. But discipline can be a big part of investing as well. If that's something you have trouble with, you know, you need to have someone there with you. My role with my many of my clients, and many of them, many of them now have been with me 20 years, 30 years even. I talked to one today that's been with me 36 years. She's been my client. She's 91. And I'm having lunch with her on Wednesday. And she's healthy and active and flying up from Florida and doing great, you know. So again, if you're older, you got to be careful of the risk. And most of the folks listen to this program are a little bit older because you've been able to save up a little bit now and take a breath from your younger years of buying houses and cars and hopefully listening to the Dave Ramsey Show. I want to officially invite David Ramsey to be a guest on this program with me as host. If he's ever in the area, if anyone's hearing this, and get this out to him. I am the giantest fan of Dave Ramsey. I believe that this man and his people are doing such good for the younger people in our country. If you've got a 30-year-old person in your family you love, get him to listen to this stuff. He is on the dot right about everything, in my opinion. But he's brave. He's a brave guy. He's become outrageously popular by saying everything no one wants to hear, which is live conservatively, right? Don't overspend. Something I seem to have had a good natural knack for, even as a young person. Some of us do have that, and some of us need to learn it. But anyway, I wanted to just take a moment here during my program and say what a great show Dave Ramsey is. And what Dave Ramsey does is gets you to become the best client I ever had. Debt-free, eager to save and invest a lot of money, that's perfect. So Dave Ramsey, get you going, get you debt-free, get you on your way. Great programming here on AM 790. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is Steve Bove. I'm a certified financial planner professional is what I am. I'm also a potter. Bet you didn't know that, huh? Pretty surprise. It's a rare hobby. How many potters do you meet? Yeah. It's just a little art interest I have when I was very young. I was going to be an artist when I was a very young man, and then I kind of stumbled into the financial business and realized early on that I seemed to have a pretty good natural acclimate for it. And wanted to have a family and had big expectations, you know, so it looked like a good way to hopefully make a living, and it worked out pretty well. But the pottery is a hobby now. It's something I do for fun. I enjoy it very much. Those of you artists out there know what I'm talking about. General Dynamics stock has really benefited from our new president, jumped up right in November there, but it's gone from, like, you know, 150 to 200, so it's up about, you know, 50% almost in the last 3 years. Looks pricey to me. Doesn't have a big dividend. I know people are liking this stock right now. I think if you've owned it, you know, a year to date, you've done extremely well. But I got one client wants to buy it now, and man, I don't like it. So that's part of my job, is how to politely, respectfully, in a grateful manner, tell him I don't like this idea. He's probably listening. His name's Steve also. But I think he already knows that. We'll talk about it soon. Anyway, individual stocks are the riskiest way to invest. I would suggest most of you use mutual funds or, you know, these new ETFs, exchange funds. traded funds are highly cost effective. If you do it yourself, you have maybe a little trade cost, $9, something like that, $25, tops, $20. Maybe nothing if you open a new account. And as a marketing effort, a lot of these companies will offer you so many trades free. But be careful and be aware that over-trading historically kills returns, and professionals get in trouble for over-trading. It's called churning. Of course, the days of commissions in retirement accounts are long gone. Whew, bravo. Been working on that one for 15 years. Is everyone that does commissions bad? Of course not. I made sure that I said over and over again that the vast majority of people in the financial business are good people. I know many, many, many of them. Many of them like insurance and annuities, and they're good people. And most of them sold the products correctly in proper proportion. The rule changes had to be designed to stop that 5%. Because they're doing something evil with money. You know, you can't allow evil with health. Your health, right? It's too important in life. I mean, there's a lot of things in life. Like sneakers are not that important, right? You know, hope you get a good pair of sneakers. But I don't want taxpayer dollars going to regulate to make sure you don't get, you know, a short change when you buy a pair of sneakers. You know, that's your problem, in my opinion, you know. But things like your health, we need government involvement and regulations, and in the investment business as well. And what the changes that have gone through by eliminating commissions is designed to create a system where, for retirement accounts anyway, the advisor will only be paid an annual fee, and it won't be 3%, 4%, 5%, or 6% like upfront can be. It would be like 1%, maybe 0.5%. And it's healthier and safer because no matter what type of portfolio or what fund the client, the advisor recommends to the client, they'll always earn the same compensation. There's no way of altering your own compensation by changing your advice to your client, right? And that's dangerous. If you can alter your own compensation, give yourself a big fat raise just by what you tell somebody, that's dangerous because 5% of human beings can't take it, can't handle it. They'll misuse it and hurt you. So the laws are designed to attack that group. The vast majority of people I know, and I've been around an awful long time, gave up commissions almost 20 years ago. We did in our office, so we were decades ahead of this rule, which we're very proud to say. Very important to also, as I mentioned several times, anyone who is in the financial biz and operates on a commission basis, it can absolutely be done ethically and properly. And as long as you understand how your people get paid, almost any method is okay. There are certain methods that are confusing and complicated, and the costs are hidden or hard to find, and that's kind of what we want to get rid of, you know. So anyway, I think good things are happening there. You may be hearing, you probably have been hearing from your people, if you work with someone over the last several months, about changing your account over. If you're being asked to change your account over from a commission account to a managed account, I think the question must be asked, how long have you been managing accounts? If the person says, no, I'm just not doing it now, I think you have to rethink this. Because selling somebody a mutual fund is very different than managing money. They're two different skills. They're both valuable. They both take talent, but they're very different. One's a lot more nerdy. The ultimate nerdy, and I think the greatest skilled person in the field, is a person who manages individual securities portfolios and does it well. I've seen it done poorly by giant institutions. But local people who do that, little companies that do that privately still, that takes the most knowledge because you have to know every company you're buying. Where if you're buying mutual funds, you have to know, you know, buy good 10 good ones. Where if you're picking stocks, you have to pick 743 of them and get all of them right, you know, in order to have the same diversification you could receive from mutual funds. These new ETFs today hold, they can hold quite a bit of goodies inside them. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite portfolios that I run for clients is called Growth and Income, or Moderate Growth. It's a 60% maximum risk assets, which means stocks and other, 40% always in bonds. That means if the middle of the year, my clients might see a trade where I sold something, and if they inquire, they may say, oh, you didn't like IBM anymore. You trimmed the IBM. I say, well, whatever it was, generally not stocks with me, more like mutual funds, but similar story. And usually the answer is no, it's just rebalancing the account, keeping it in the math that you asked us to do. And we have a written agreement that's legal that says I won't let the risk go above X in your account. And I watch it constantly almost. This is all that I do. And that's ongoing management. It can be done by computers today, and I think it's fine with smaller money. When you get a little bit older and you get wealth and you also have a property to think of and a 401k plan, most people would much, I believe, seek out professional people to help with their money. But when you're getting going, there's all sorts of very low-cost ways of building your wealth. I think that's what's changed in the world today. I think building wealth is going to go to the hands, when you're younger, of computers and things like that, because it's very cost-effective. But managing it in the end and managing distribution of your wealth, I don't see that as a computer role ever, really. There's a lot of emotion involved in that, and you have to, like the woman I told you I talked with today, I'm going to meet with next week, who's 90. I know her, 35 years. I was a pallbearer at her husband's funeral. I put him in the ground. So, I mean, this is what I mean about one of the most important things about being a good advisor for any of you younger people who are interested in the field, and I think it's a wonderful field, is know the client. And if you're really a salesperson who just goes on to the next one, you don't know the client. You did a transaction. You sold them something. That's not knowing the person. Knowing someone takes time. It takes effort. You really have to make an effort of it, and it's important that we all do that as advisors, take the time to know clients. A one-hour review meeting in my office with a client like this will be 15 minutes on the money, 40 minutes on her life, what she needs, what she's feeling, what does the future look like, because she's energetic and healthy, and she's 91, and just absolutely amazing woman, born here locally in Burrillville many moons ago. And moved to Florida, but coming up to visit. So anyway, just a great little story because I love her like a mom. She's the mom I don't have. My mom has passed away, and this woman has been like another mom to me, and I believe I'm like a son to her as well. And my point is people can live to be 90 very easily, and it's rare that you be as active as her if you live that long. But it's a good example of how you better think about it, because guess what? You may live to be 90 and be like Laura. Laura was dropped off by her daughter at my home last summer or the summer before for a little cookout I had with my family. And she's like family, you know. And I was out on the deck, and someone said, oh, Laura's here, because everyone knows how much I love her. So I ran through my house. It's not a giant house, but it's pretty big. I ran through the house from the back deck to the front driveway to meet her. Her daughter dropped her off, and I couldn't find her. I went back in the house, and she was already on the deck. She walked around the yard on the lawn in heels. So it's a motivating story, folks, of how you can live a good long life and enjoy every moment of it, because this gal sure does that. But when you get to that point, I think you should be having some pretty conservative investments, you know, moderate to conservative. I will only have occasionally one or two here or there aggressive investments at my age. I'm 58. Depending on how close you are to your goal, I think, and how much you've already saved, does it make sense at all to take risk if you don't need to? If you explain to me what you need your money to do for you the rest of your life, and I document it, and you believe I'm accurate and good at this, and I tell you that you could put your money in safest bonds and make 3% tax-free, and you'll achieve everything you told me, would you want to take more risk than that if you didn't need to? That's a very hard question. I think it's a very important question when I ask of my clients all the time, and almost all of them, I think this is my personality that attracts these types. They say, no, I do not want to take more risk than I need to. I need you, Stephen, to help me figure out how much risk do I need to take with my money. And then once we figure out how much risk, because we have to take some, then once I understand that what's the proper level for me, then beyond that, I do not want to ever raise it going forward at my age. If anything, you would reduce it, I would think, right? Pardon me, this is Steve Bovey with an allergy attack today. A little sneezing fit. My voice is fading, but it's Friday, so I'll hopefully get through it and have the weekend off. 1-888-345-0790, 437-5000. And check out our podcast at 790business.com as well. Wednesday night, Nathan is here, my son Nathan, who will be a certified financial planner professional shortly. Working on that. He's almost through that. Very proud to say that's a requirement to host a program on the Money Talk Show. Don Soa, myself, and Don's daughter, also a very experienced now certified financial planner professional. And what that means is we're nerdy in a way in that we don't want to talk about the money right away with you. We want to talk about you. Now, that's kind of a cliche that salespeople use, and they're still salespeople. Watch out for that one. But as long as a financial person actually operates that way, you know, in the first meeting with someone, if you talk to them for an hour, it should be 40 minutes, or maybe the whole hour, just on your future needs. And then recommendations can follow once you understand the needs. But if you're getting ideas from someone on what to invest in 10 minutes in a meeting with the first meeting with them, that's a bad sign. There's no way they can know enough about you in 10 minutes, in my opinion, to make a proper recommendation. So unless you walked in the door and said, buy this stock for me, then that's different. That's fine. You're giving them instructions. Please be patient and let the new era financial people, the younger ones, younger than even I, let them ask you those questions. And a lot of old goats like me don't want to tell you that. They don't want to tell you what other accounts they have. I've had a few over the years. You know, guy in his 70s, he runs a backhoe for a living. He's got hands like a dinosaur, you know. And I ask him, well, tell me about your other accounts. I'm not telling you nothing. He's a riot. He's a little friend of mine. Been a client for 20 years, but that's how he talks, you know. And I actually had to put out a few forms for this guy that I asked him for this information. He refused to give it to me. And how I stayed friends with him was I kept reminding him was that you don't have to answer the questions. I just have to prove that I asked them. So write on the form that you don't answer these questions and sign it for him. And that's what he does. And I love him. He's just an old school Yankee and doesn't want to tell anybody anything. So that kind of cat is going to have a tough time. I'm good at prying it out of people like that because, you know, I grew up working on cars and stuff. So I have a blue collar background as well as my white collar career. But again, back to the financial topic of risk. We're talking about these people out of this age. They're my age. Many of you are our age. So when we come back from our news break at the bottom of the hour here, we're going to pick up a little bit on Wednesday night's conversation about 1099s, 409, and 709. And we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to AM 790. This is your station for Talk and Business. I'm looking at an ad on the internet. It says 2017's top savings accounts. Grab these. Now, listen, folks. Get this. This is what you all don't like about my business. Jaw-dropping rates. And you click on it, and it's 1.2%. I mean, that's insulting. Jaw-dropping rates. See, I'm a rebellious guy in my field. I don't like this stuff. I think we need to talk to you all in a different way. The financial business has to learn how to talk to the customer in a respectful manner. That's not respectful. Jaw-dropping rates is, you know, that's like saying, you know, I'll give you this car at a big discount and you give me a penny off. You know, it means you're saying something up front to mislead me, to draw me in, when if you told me the facts up front, you wouldn't have drawn me in. That's what misleading marketing junk is, and that's what that is. Another big one right now is these annuities. They say annuity rate, 8%. 6% of it's your own money, and they don't tell you that. There's nothing paying 8% interest right now, unless it's a pretty high-risk bond, maybe, you know? So, again, I always feel the need to voice this. It's a bit edgy, I understand. And most people in my field are good. I'm not one of those people who thinks I'm the only good one. I run into those a few times. You ever run into somebody you want to hire them to put a sprinkler in your yard, and they tell you everybody's no good but them? He had no chance the minute he finished that sentence with me, that guy. You know, anyone who is that arrogant is never a good source of information, I don't think. So information should be a good soup for you. You know, you should read, talk to people you know, listen to the Money Talk show, listen to other shows as well, and mix it all up in your own soup and make up your own mind. E. James Rowan, one of my great, I want to call him a mentor, although I never met him, but I read and listened to many of his teachings. He said things like, life best lived is life well balanced. Just good common sense, simple stuff. And in the money world, if you can keep focused on common sense, usually the answers are there. You know, when you overcomplicate it, you overcomplicate it. So try not to do that. I always wanted to be, hopefully I've achieved some level of this in my 40-year career. I want to be the guy that everyone said, I understand everything he says when he talks about that stuff. You know, he's like the guy in the corner. You know, and maybe because of that style, I'm not that impressive. when I speak about those things. But I'm not trying to impress anyone when I speak of these things. I'm trying to help. So it depends, on, I guess, on what you're doing. One of my favorite stories in my field was there was a wonderful female advisor at Commonwealth, my company, worked in Florida, I think it was. And she was very, very successful. And I heard one time another advisor, a male, saying that he talked to her several times and was never impressed with her. Doesn't understand why she's so successful. I've tapped him on the shoulder. I said, the clients are impressed, knucklehead. She doesn't talk to the client the way she talks to you at the lounge. You're talking business lingo with her. You know, when she talks to the customer, she's downtoning it. That's why they like her so much. She doesn't intimidate them. They're not afraid to go into her office. They're not afraid they're going to have to sit there in the fifth time, fake like they get it, you know, because she consciously tries to bring it down to earth. And I think all of us that work in these complex fields have a great responsibility to do that. Early in our career, one of many things Don So has said that I never forgot was the professions can be a conspiracy against the laity. That means against average folks who don't have the same knowledge. And that's a terrible thing to do. You don't ever want to do that. So we got to try to push the marketing out of medicine. You know, I don't think pills should be sold. I think a doctor should recommend them. And I don't think investments should be sold either. I think a skilled person should recommend them. If you're that skilled person for yourself, I think that's fine. But it should be out of, you know, careful contemplation of your circumstances and a full understanding of all the choices. That's not usually what a sale is when somebody sold something. Something very different than that, you know. And again, many people do it honestly and do it well, but we have a new era coming up where commissions are no longer allowable. Maybe a few companies have figured out how to hang on to it for a while, but eventually it'll be a dinosaur. It'll be gone. And the benefit to all of you is that on your retirement money, which is super important, right? There will be no way in the future of any advisor, broker / advisor, salesperson. To change their advice because it'll make them more money. Can't happen anymore. And how wonderful is that? Even if you're against the bill, you got to understand on a human level, on a society level, how wonderful that is. Are there some problems with that going forward? Yeah. Yeah, there is. Is it awkward how to handle smaller accounts? Yes, it is. Will we handle it? Yes, we will. And it will be a little bit sticky as we get through it. But it's been happening. Many of you have already probably spoken to your people. We had to do it. Nathan and I had to talk to hundreds of folks in our office. And some of them we can be grandfathered. We had a caller, actually, Liz. I didn't make a note on this one, but I want to mention it to you all. We had an email at the office. It was a regular listener who had parents that were in their 80s, and they got letters from their brokerage company telling you can't do commissions anymore. Which is true, because they're retirement accounts. But if you're 83 and you've owned the investments for a while, you know, several years, you paid the commission years ago, you know, to take them out of those investments where they already paid the commission at age 80 and then put them into a more expensive, year-to-year program, usually isn't the best thing for them. Can be, case by case, you know. Anyway, I called him and chatted with him, and I advised him that if his parents that were in their 80s could get grandfathered, request being grandfathered, which means you can keep your old brokerage commission account because you're 80, you're not going to add to it, right? So if you don't add to it, there are no commissions being generated, you can't break the law. And you can leave that old account alone because that's in your best interest at age 80, in my opinion. Managing money is for over lengths of time, right? Managing money, it's not for 80. How much time do you have at age 80? Hopefully a lot, but the charts say, you know, not 40 more years, right? Hopefully we'll all live like my friend Laura to 91 and be, you know, clip-clopping around in her heels at 90 and impressing us all. But the odds are that won't happen. The typical retirement is age 62 to 75. After 75, that's past life expectancy for men. 80 is for females. If we are fortunate enough to live past expectancy, there's an aging process that occurs, which tends to slow down the spending process. I mean, my father's in his 80s, and of course, I'm his only son, and I'm a financial guy, so I know his economic situation rather well, as a matter of fact, explicitly. And I know what he lives on, happily and very comfortably, because he managed himself rather well, and he still does. But if I had taken what he needed in retirement when 20 years ago and just inflated it by 4%, it would say he needs $5,000, $6,000 a month right now, and he needs two. It would be so overkill, you know. Later in life, debts are paid off, right? You're not buying an education at above 60, maybe a little bit. I encourage you to do that. Wonderful education is great, but you're not going to college for 4 years, full-blown new career at 66. Not likely, right? Hopefully you're done buying stuff, houses and cars. I've had it with that stuff. Don't want any debt, you know. So at some point in your life, the majority of your spending is activity, doing things, right? That's why you worked hard, so you didn't have to work hard. So you can go see do, I call it. Go see do what? All you can, right? That's where the spending is in retirement, is in the activity. If you didn't go into retirement with bad habits, I've never gambled in my life. I'm 58. You think I'm going to start doing that now? No. I've never even bought a lottery ticket. Imagine that. Not one time. I do not think anybody's wrong for doing that. Many smart people I know enjoy a lottery ticket once a week. You know, little. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But it's just my nature, because I understand money and math, that it looks like the odds are just ridiculous. Why, to me, and I understand the odds in the financial world are much better than they are in the lottery world, that's for sure. And now, speculating on stocks and crazy risky stuff can be a lot like gambling. You've all heard that. But proper investing is nothing like gambling. Make sure you write that one down. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. Hey, we have podcasts available, 790business.com. Check out the podcast for Wednesdays and Tuesdays, because that's going to include the youth of the team, Nathan and Donna. We also have back at the office Don's son, Daniel, as our office manager now. And really, he's our lead honcho day-to-day in the office. He's doing a great job. And, of course, I mentioned a week ago, I'm going to do it again because it felt good. Kimberly Thompson and Wendy Fiola are super senior assistants that are right on Don and my shoulder on every client account. They're the reason that we seem to win this Rhode Island Monthly does once a year, you know, top financial people. And we seem to keep winning that over and over again, I'm happy to say. And it's a big reason for that is these wonderful people that you don't hear on the radio. You know, they're behind the scenes, and they're the ones. I'll get little text. My phone will bleep, you know, a quarter of four. It says, and it's Kim. It says, don't forget, you got the show solo at 5 o'clock, you know, and you never get to see that stuff. So just an incredible thank you to the staff at the Soar Financial Group, which is what's behind this program, really, and long to the young Daniel, who's now with us, but to our long-term assistants, Wendy and Kim. Can't thank you enough. Fabulous job, and continue. We want to keep you forever to 91 years old, just like Laura. Just kidding. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. If you have a question, we can dig up an answer for you, or I may even have the answer for you right here at 437-5000. 1099s, we talked about that Wednesday night. 1099s are what you get from a bank investment company for an investment that makes dividends that are taxable today. If you have an IRA 401k, that may make dividends also, but they're not taxed until you take them out and spend them. Little different tax situation there, okay? So the 1099 has different columns on it, and you can have a dividend from a regular corporate bond or interest on a bank account CD, and it will be taxed at what's called ordinary income, which is the highest tax rate on the street right now, okay? So in your life, there's a lot of different ways you can pay tax. Ordinary income, which is what your paycheck is the highest one, okay? The 1099 has other columns, though. So, and this is, again, for people approaching retirement more likely than the younger group. If you take a look at your 1099, you look at a column that's empty, why don't you say, why is that empty? Why isn't there something in there? Because the 1099, what it's for, is to separate non-deferred dividends and interest that are taxed at a reduced rate. So anything in those columns on your 1099, other than ordinary ones, are at a lower tax rate. So if you get a good size 1099, take a look at it. And if there isn't something under long-term capital gains or anything under what's called qualified dividends, you may want to rethink that portfolio mix, and it may not be taking advantage of the tax laws as well as you can. The tax laws we were referring to was Topic 409. And that benefits people, couples, up to about $75,000 of adjusted income, which is probably close to 90 after you take off personal exemptions and mortgage interest and things of that nature. So it's a great little tax break targeted right in the middle class. How nice. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, the station for talk and business. Hey, listen to this. I bet you would not have guessed this. Oh, there's another one. S&P 500, 1 month, is down 1.5% in value. If I interviewed people on the street, what's the stock market done the past 1 month? Everyone would say it's up like crazy. It's down 1.5%. Imagine that, mostly because of yesterday. However, this is the fascinating part. The emerging markets I keep talking about is in a one-month period when the S&P is down 1.5%, it's up 0.5%. That's a radical, in the nerd world, my world, that's a radical difference, proportionately, okay? And this is why I do believe that if you don't have any overseas exposure, and a lot of you don't because long-term, probably 7 out of 10 years in the cycle, a U.S. beats everything. And what happens is people notice that, and they undiversify. We can't do it professionally. That's too risky. But if you're doing it yourself, you can. And they have just U.S. I heard, actually, John Vogel at Vanguard say that. You don't need anything but U.S. stocks. I don't think professionally I can go there, John. You don't have any clients. You get to say stuff, and no one's going to pin you in the corner over it. You follow me? If you don't actually practice the art with clients. It doesn't mean you can't have knowledge. It just means you are exempt from dealing with the emotion of investing, and that's cuckoo. Meaning if you're in the investment business, but you never deal with a customer on the topic, then, you know, come on. I mean, that's where the difficulty is. And that's why academia is very different than investing. For example, someone who is purely academia, about finances, an economy major, might say, anybody can invest on their own. You just buy the Vanguard S&P 500 fund, keep it, and look at it. 30 years, it made, you know, this much per year. Beautiful, so easy, you don't even need an advisor. This is a young person saying this. It hasn't lived life yet, hasn't ever done anything like that yet. Do you know how many people can't do that on their own emotionally? Because every time the market corrects, the media and the world tells them to sell it, and that's the wrong advice. So to think that everyone can just invest that way and just hold it, that's ridiculous. Few people can do it, and I don't doubt that you can if you're a person who does that on your own. I don't doubt that for a minute. What I have found is that if during those occasional periods, if you are the right type of advisor, the right personality to be very energetic for them at that point so they don't see someone who's afraid because they feel afraid, you know. If you go to your advisor because you feel nervous and afraid, and he seems nervous and afraid, I mean, what's the purpose, right? Right? We're supposed to be like jungle guides. You know, we fear the lion, but not to the same level you do because I understand it somewhat. Do I know where it will jump out of the woods? No, but I'm trained on how to react. I may have a weapon that you don't have. I may have other experience with lions you haven't had. So good financial advisors are much like a jungle guide, I always said. We do not know where all the beasts are, but we have an idea. You know, the hippos are near the water. Mm. But more importantly, we're trained how to react if it does occur. And I think that's the best you can hope for because certain things are not predictable like markets and like wild beasts in the woods, right? They're not predictable. One of my favorite ones is you ever see a little story where two people are walking in the woods, one very experienced hunter and one not. And they notice that it's very silent, and the inexperienced person thinks how nice it is, and the experienced hunter says something's wrong. You know, it's not normal for it to be that silent, you know, in the middle of the day or something like that. And so that's another example of how a little bit of wisdom over time can be very helpful. Right now, we have a rising interest rate environment here in the U.S., and you should have some emerging markets in your portfolio. I've been on this one for 2 years now. Year-to-date, up double the U.S. market. I know you're not hearing it, right? Ask anyone on the street so far this year of overseas markets, Europe, emerging markets in U.S., what's doing the best? Everyone will say the Trump market is number one. Wrong. Guess what? It's the lowest of all three. And I try to educate by pointing out these things at times when many of the things you may be hearing coming to your own conclusion about can be complete opposite about what's really going on right now. So if you're handling your money on your own, you can be vulnerable to things like that because there's a delay I think, between the professional and the do-it-yourselfer in information today. You can get information easier than ever today on your own, and we think that's wonderful. If you want to call me, I'll help you figure out how to do it, you know, for free, because that's my job here. But it is a very different game, and please remember that something being easy to do mechanically doesn't mean it's easy to succeed at it, right? Because you have to make decisions correctly over a 30-year period. You have to stand fast when so many people are telling you you're crazy. You better get out now. You're going to lose it all, right? Right. You have 8 mutual funds that own 5,000 different investments all over the world. You can't lose it all. Now, if you understand that mindset, why do you panic and sell it when it's down in value while I'm buying more of it? And wonder why 9 years later I have the dough and you don't, right? This is not a scolding. This is hopefully a lesson in why investing is not as easy as it sounds. Because we're people and we're full of emotion, and that can get in the way even for me. Has there been a time in my career, in my own account, not client accounts, in my own account, that my own emotion made my decision-making not perfect? Of course. Of course. However, we as good experienced advisors don't speculate with client accounts. We have strict rules on how to be very careful and very conservative. But if you're an advisor, you have your own dough. There's no regulations on that. If you want to be foolish with it, you know, you're not hurting anyone else. So most of us will mimic our advice to you on the majority of our funds, because if it's good advice for you, guess what? It's good advice for me, too, at my age. So my account will look very much like what my clients my age have, and then I will speculate a bit more that I don't do with them because I feel a greater responsibility to them to be more conservative, more careful, you know. So that's how most of us operate. If you're looking for an advisor, we'll even help you do that, even if it's someone other than us. We don't have any problem with that either. So have a good, safe weekend, and tune in Monday night for the Money Talk Show right here on AM 790. We're your station for talking business. Moving careful and slow.